from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Some shows talk about one team.
Other shows barely talk sports. This show
will talk Packers, Brewers, and Bucks.
Every day, this show will talk sports every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Viper
on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome in. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, hour number 3. If you missed anything, you can always go to the Wisconsin Sports Daily podcast page at 1250amthefan.com. I think we had everything up last night by, what was it, Charlie, 6 o'clock last night?
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock last night. We had all 3 hours of the show up, had all the interviews cut out and put in their respective places, like best Brewers coverage, best Bucks coverage, best Packers coverage on those different podcast pages. So, again, make sure to go check it out. And more importantly, get that 1250 preset set on your car radio again. Make sure you're here every day, 2 to 5. I want calls. I'm not getting enough calls. I'm just going to be honest with you. I want more calls than I'm getting. It really hasn't been all that great. I want more calls. I want more tweets. I want to continue to build this thing. I want this to be a community show where, you know, we're all participating in the show and it's not just me and Charlie. So that's the goal. We'll see if we can reach that goal or not. I saw a tweet here and it got me kind of intrigued at some point here, talking about the Green Bay Packers and this draft pick coming up. The question is, would you want the Packers to trade up in the NFL draft? And if so, who would you want? Who would you want the Packers to take if you were going to move up from pick 25? Now, it can be a player if you're a mock draft nerd. That is fine. I'm fine with that if that's what you want to do. It doesn't have to be a player. It can be a position. It can be Sparky. I don't know much about the draft one way or the other, but I do know this. I do know I want an offensive lineman. Is there a offensive lineman that triggers you, Charlie, that you would want to see the Packers trade up for if they're going to move up from 25?
I really like Fashanu out of Penn State. I think he's a monster. Kind of sitting where they are, they can't get him. He's going to get taken before that. Sitting where they are, I also really like J.C. Latham. I think people haven't talked about him enough. I think he's going to be a little bit of a project player for them. But I think he has all the mold to be a really good offensive lineman. And he was living in Wisconsin for a little while. Bring him back home, you know?
Yeah, I think there is something that goes along with the whole deal of a moving up and the whole idea of, you know, he lived in Wisconsin for a while and bring up home stuff. Okay, that's cute. I mean, I don't give a crap about that if I'm a general manager. Who cares? I don't care. It's just like, there's a lot of people, oh, he played for the Badgers. Let's draft him. Oh, he's from Nina. Let's make sure we draft him. No. And draft the best player. If it happens up being that way, great. Just like, oh, hey, if we trade Damian Lillard, we can get Tyler Herro and bring him home. Pass. No. Don't care. Do not. No. I love the best players. I mean, it's great for the family and the friends if, you know, their son or their friend gets drafted by the Packers or traded for by the Bucks or plays for the Brewers. I get it. That's a cool moment for you, and I hope at some point, you know, you get to live that moment out if that's what we're going through here. But to me, as a fan who has no relation to any of the people we're talking about, I could care less. I just want the best player available. We had Jacob Morley on earlier from Packer Report. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Morley. They have their draft guide out, just short of 300 pages. It's like $9. So if you go to his Twitter account, at Jacob Morley, you can go and order it, and it comes right in your email. You don't have to wait for it to come in the mail, nothing. Just, again, tweet at Jacob Morley, and you'll see it. Plus, we retweeted it on the 1250 AM The Fan account. He joined us, and out of the clear blue, I didn't know he was going to do this, but I was very happy he did because we had this topic slated for 4 o'clock. He brought up, what about trading up in the draft?
What about moving up? You know, what about moving up to pick 16, pick 17, and maybe, you know, the Fatanu kid out of Washington is still sitting there. Maybe the Fuanga kid out of Oregon State is still sitting there. Two guys that I think could be very, you know, high echelon type tackles in this league. What if they love one of those guys and they're just like, we're not leaving round one without them? And that could be something that is exciting because you talk about Graham Barton. Everyone likes Graham Barton. Everyone likes his versatility. But Fatanu, the Washington kid, probably can play all five as well. I think he's just a tier above him. And he's not always mentioned to Green Bay because a lot of people think he won't be there. And he might not be. And they might have to move up to get him. But I think moving up would be really exciting. The other kid that I would move up for, and this is another name that Packers fans are very familiar with, is the Cooper DeJean.
No, absolutely not. No, 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 no.
You don't like DeJean?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, we got Jason Sehorn and who? But I'm going to buy into Cooper DeJean. Get out of here. No way. Unless you're going to try and sell me that he's going to be play safety. No, I'm not buying into him at corner.
Exactly,
I'm sorry.
I think that's exactly where he's going to play, though. I think that's... But then you get into the, we'll move up for safety. You know, they did it once with Savage. Maybe they'll do it again. I don't know. I like DeJean, though. I really do. I think he's going to be a really good player in the NFL. If you want to stick him at outside corner, I think he'd be fine. I don't know if he'd be a star, but I think he could be a legitimate star in this league if you let him play in the slot and if you let him play safety. I think he can be an impactful player. I think what you turn on the Iowa tape and that defense was just suffocating, and he's the playmaker on the back end. So if you're going to come into this Jeff Hafley system that we think they want to play a lot of cover one, but they also have talked about wanting two safeties that are very versatile. Well, that's DeJean, you know, and they call it, you know, you rock and roll the safeties where it's, you know, one's going to play the deep half and the other one's going to be up at the line of scrimmage unless someone, you know, they shift the formation and then now all of a sudden DeJean's got to be the deep man. And so I think they want two guys that can do that. Right now they don't have, they have one, you know. So that's the other thing is how much are they going to panic? I was talking to my buddy Owen Reese the other day, and he, you know, works for the Shrine Bowl, and he made some great points talking about how we as fans will look at it and say, "Well, my gosh, if they don't get Cooper DeJean in round one, they're not going to get a safety." Well, the Packers might be sitting there thinking like, "Nah, we're going to take, you know, player X in round three, and we love him, and we know he's going to be there." And so safety is going to be fine. We like this kid in round three. You know, so it's like you got to kind of wait for everything to unfold and all that stuff. And I know, like, a great example of that is, what, 2 or 3 years ago when they took Christian Watson. Everybody's freaking out after the first round when they didn't take a wide receiver. And, you know, Goody, I think he made a comment like, I think, you know, I think we'll be all right. I don't, looking back at whatever he said, you can kind of look back at it and be like, yeah, he knew he was what he was doing. And they move up immediately in day two and take their guy, right? So you got to let the whole thing play out and kind of see what happens and judge it as a whole. But the two guys that I would be really excited about are DeJean and then the Fatanu kid. But I think you have to move up for both of them.
All right, so there is, and we went on to talk about the lineage of Iowa DBs that may have been great at Iowa that sucked in the NFL and weren't all that great. Josh Jackson comes to mind, who was, I believe, number four on that list I saw of great Iowa DBs in program history. Micah Hyde was on that list in the top 10. He was okay, right, but nothing special. There are certain schools that produce certain players that you get down with. There are certain schools that put players in to the NFL with certain positions that you're like, no, not happening. For a long time, there's no way I wanted a Florida State outside linebacker, defensive end. The guy's just flamed out constantly. No. Didn't want a wide receiver from UCLA. Those guys normally didn't, you know, play or didn't end up being as good as they were in college. So some of those, it is what it is. I'm sorry. I'm not there. I am not there on Cooper DeJean. And I know some of you are, and I'm not. There's just not enough history to say that that position from that school works. There's not. So I'm not there on that. The other thing about this is, if you're going to trade up, right, if that's what we're going to do, we decide, okay, we're the Packers, we're going to trade up from 25. If you trade up, in my mind, you're trading up for what you think will be a Pro Bowler, right? I'm not trading up for somebody that's going to sit for 3 years and watch. If I trade up, I'm trading up for an impact guy that's going to come in day one and start, whatever position it may be. If I move up for a tackle, then he better be starting day one and do something. If I'm moving up for a wide receiver, he better be starting on day one and be that guy going forward. Whatever the position is. Now again, there are no running backs worth trading up for. No. Again, as we talked about DeJean, okay, maybe. Maybe that's the safety if you're going to have one. Outside of him, there's not one worth trading up for in the first round, so forget that. Linebacker, inside linebacker, there's none of those guys. No, nope, nope, nope. There's some good edge rushers, right? You can maybe have that conversation. Dallas Turner, he's probably going to be the first one off the board to Atlanta. So maybe you have that conversation if you want to add to Van Ness and Rashawn Gary and what you have there. Defensive tackles, I don't know. I don't think I'm going up for that. I don't think that's something I'm looking at this point. Tight ends, you don't need. So that's not going to be a thing. Now, the positions that make sense are corner, because there's quite a few corners, right? Arnold from Alabama, McKinster, Kool-Aid McKinster, who a lot of people think will follow the Packers anyhow. But, I mean, that's another guy that might, you know, be worth taking. Wiggins. I like Nate Wiggins a lot. If you think you have to move up to take him, but I've seen him follow the Packers too in a mock draft at 25. So there are some corners worth going up for. I am not one that I, as of right now, if you said, Sparky, do you want to move up? No. No, I'm not there. I don't. I'll tell you what I want him to do. I want to move back. I don't want to go up. I want back. Because I think there is a group of players between 25 and probably 35 to 40 that are all relatively in the same category. So unless some stud falls to you that shouldn't be there, I take picks for next year's draft, and I fall back. You've got 41 already. You've got 41 and 58 in the second round. So I've already got a pick in the beginning of the second round, top, what, 9 picks of the second round, 8-9 picks. So I don't need to add another second or another third. I already got two of those on each round. Give me your second next year so I can start building up assets for next year, and I'll slide back 5 spots or 7 spots or whatever the case may be, and flip. You don't even have to give me picks for this year. I'll take your pick for next year. That's how I would approach it. I don't think, unless somebody can come up with a good reason of why, I don't think I'm in the boat of wanting to trade up At this point. We'll see what Charlie Houston thinks about this question. And how about some calls, huh? Would you want the Packers to trade up in this NFL draft? And if so, who would you want? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. And tweet us at 1250 AM, The Fan. We've got the Sports Daily on 1250 AM, The Fan. See Sparky Fiber with you. Charlie Usen, other side of the glass, producing the show today. Asking you, would you want the Packers to trade up in the NFL draft from 25? You have two twos, you have two threes. Would you want to use some of that to move up? Played a segment from Jacob Morley in the last segment, who joined us earlier in the show from Packer Report. Said he'd move up for Barton, the interior offensive lineman, has also played some tackle from Duke, or he would trade up for Cooper DeJean from Iowa, the cornerback who some think will play safety. I don't want either one if I'm trading up myself. So the question is, actually, he didn't trade up for Barton. He traded up from the offensive lineman from Washington. Sorry about that. Would you want the Packers trade up in the NFL draft? And if so, who would you want? I say no. I say I'd rather move back. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM, The Fan. What say you, Charlie?
I don't want them to move up. I also don't really want them to move back, though. I think where they're at is going to have a lot of talent at needy positions for them. Like I said earlier, and beyond him being a hometown kid, I think J.C. Latham has a lot to like about an offensive tackle. You know, looking at him, he's 6'6", 359. He's huge. Now, sometimes that works out. Sometimes that doesn't always work out. But I think more often than not, it works out. He's a guy that I think you can move into guard still, too, if you wanted to put him there. You know, I think there's just options at 25 that the Packers could use to help push them forward in this division. And I personally think the NFC North is going to be one of the toughest divisions in football this year. So I think you have to do everything you can to get as much top-end talent as you can without sacrificing too much. And I don't think you have to sacrifice much in this draft to get a player that you'll really like.
You know, that's the thing, too, is talking about sacrificing to get the player that you like at the end of the day. If I was a guessing man, I would imagine Brian Gutekunst right now is sitting back going, I like a lot of guys. Like, I don't feel like I have to go up to get one guy. Now, maybe he is in love with a certain player. Maybe he's in love with one player, and in his mind, he's going, okay, guys, this is the deal. If we get this player to, say, the Colts pick at 15, we're going to start calling at 15. If this guy gets to 15 and we're 10 picks out, we're going to try and get up there to get this guy if he falls to 15. But it's got to be 15. I don't give up more capital than I have to. So I'm not. I want to go to 10. I don't want to go to 5. But once we get to 15 to 25 in that 10-pick area, if this offensive lineman or this edge rusher or this wide receiver is still there, then we're moving. But if that's not the case, then we'll sit here and take calls and kind of see what we like. Because I'm pretty sure that's how this goes, right? Have you ever done the mock draft simulators on Pro Football Focus or on Pro Football Network, right? You get these fake mock drafts. I do like 3 or 4 a day, I think, on Pro Football Network. And what happens is you get this offer, and it's, okay, pick 41 and pick, like, I don't know, make up a number, 230. In exchange, you get picks 51, 89, 106, and whatever. So when that happens and you determine if you're going to make that trade or not, the first thing that you do is you look at your draft board and go, okay, if I'm moving back 15 picks, you kind of count down 15 players and go, okay, am I comfortable with this group if all these guys ahead go at some point between these two trades? I think NFL teams do the same thing. I don't think it's any different. So when that phone starts ringing, I'm sure in Brian Gutekunst's mind, he's like, I'll go back 5 to 10 picks, but I'm not going back 15 or 20. Like, the group of players that I'm looking at, I'll get one or two still there if I move back 10 or 15 picks, or 10 picks, 5 to 10 picks. Just like if you're going up, the same thing applies. So that's why I say, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I want to go back. Now, if I'm going up, if you're saying, Sparky, you have to go up, I want an offensive tackle. I like Latham, the offensive tackle from Alabama. That's who I like, J.C. Latham. So if I'm going up to get somebody, I would go up to get him and then not have to worry about at least one of the two tackle positions going forward. Because there's all this talk about Zach Tom possibly moving to center now, according to Rob Domofsky's sources about how they think he's a Hall of Fame center. So if Tom is going to center, then you have to draft a right tackle. And then you still have to determine who the left tackle is. Is it Rashid Walker? That's going to be your left tackle? Is it Caleb Jones, who's been on the practice squad for 100 years? Do you think he's ready to take the next step and you're going to put him out there on an island to try and play left tackle? What are your thoughts on how you're going to replace those two tackles? What I don't think you can do is, I don't think you can get yourself in a position where either right tackle and right guard are both rookies, and I don't want to be in a position where right tackle and left tackle are both rookies. It's one thing to play with rookie wide receivers and rookie tight ends. It's another thing to play with multiple rookies on the offensive line at key positions. If we're playing a rookie at right tackle and the rest of the line are vets, fine. I'm good with that. We'll figure it out. But I don't want multiple rookie offensive linemen out there. That person is not going to play center more than likely. So it's going to be guard or tackle. Well, Elgton Jenkins is not leaving left guard. So I know you're not going there. So now it's either going to be guard and tackle on the right side, or it's going to be right tackle and left tackle. And if you're moving up into the draft, I don't want a damn right tackle. If I'm moving up in the draft, you better be getting me a left tackle to provide protection for Jordan Love's blind side for the next 10 years, if we're moving up. Don't move up and then tell me, oh, you can play right tackle for 10 years. You didn't have to move up to get a right tackle. You could have stayed right where you were to get a right tackle, or even moved back and still got somebody to play right tackle. That Rosengarten dude at offensive tackle, you get that dude probably late first, early second. If I'm going to the first, up in the first round, and you're kind of an offensive lineman, it better be somebody that you're convinced is better than Rashid Walker and are convinced can start at left tackle for a decade in this league. Otherwise, I'm not going up, and I'm certainly not going up for a damn guard. That's out of the question. Charlie?
I mean, out of that criteria, there's only two tackles in this draft that I personally feel like are like that. Joe Waltz, game-changing, team franchise changing left tackle.
Yep.
And then, like I said earlier, Olu Fashanu out of Penn State.
I like him a lot.
Is the only other one that's going to be worth it to trade out for.
And Alt you're never going to get to.
Exactly.
You'll never get to Alt.
Fashanu, he's getting like mocked in like the 13 through 15 period
that's
right now.
That number.
I can be happy with moving up to that to get him if he's there. Other than that, again, I just don't see the value in trading up.
Because again, guys like Tyler Guyton, they're saying right tackle. J.C. Latham, they're saying probably right tackle in the league. Maybe he can play left. But it's not a certainty based on all these people that you read. I mean, but we talked about this on Curt and Long, and I brought up Jacob Morley. So who do you trust? Like, who's your guy? Who do you read online that you're like, oh, yeah, he's not wrong? He always gets them right. Dane Brugler from The Athletic, Mel Kiper, Field Yates, Daniel Jeremiah. Who is it? Now, I love me some Chad Ryder, but that's because I've known Chad for 100 years. And Chad's going to be on the show on Friday from the senior NFL draft analyst over at NFL.com. Been doing it forever. Again, a local guy out of Madison area that just absolutely blew up and vaulted himself all the way to NFL.com. He's been there forever. Not a TV guy, though, right? So not as many people know about him, but all of his mock drafts are up. He'll do a 7-round mock draft leading up to the draft, whole deal. So I really appreciate Chad and how he views and how he goes about analyzing talent. So if you're going to ask me who's my number one guy that I trust and respect, it's Chad. Because I've known him for 100 years, and I've watched him get things right over and over and over again as far as how good players are going to be, where players should go in the draft. Does he get things wrong from time to time? Sure. But he gets a lot right. So that kind of is my guy. Before him, Joel Buschbaum, who most of you have no idea who he is, he was, my mind, you know, the GOAT. When it comes to draft analyst work, and he worked for Pro Football Weekly. Every year as a kid, I got the Pro Football Weekly NFL Draft Guide. Every year. Joel Buschbaum was my guy, and the dude was like super thin, lived in an apartment that you would see on a hoarder show, just stuff piled up everywhere all around him. I'll never forget it. There was a picture of him. Somebody did an article on him in his apartment. I think he had a pet. I don't remember if it was a dog or what it was. He had a pet, too, that was in there with him. And it was, again, it was like a scene from Hoarders. But the dude was so good when it came to the NFL draft. He was so good. And I could not wait to get that draft guide, you know, to necessarily read it. And now, you know, got a bunch of people that are doing these draft guides, like Jacob Morley. They do an unbelievable job. 300 pages? I've never, ever, I'm about 294, whatever, close enough. I've never seen a draft guide that big. It is the biggest single draft guide I think I've ever seen in my life. And they cover a ton. And it's like $8, $9. You can't beat that. I mean, it's really affordable. But that's my point when we start talking about who's right tackle, who's left tackle. Well, as a fan, who do you trust? And if you're a fan that says to me, Sparky, I don't work in an NFL front office. They know more than us. I trust whatever the Packers do. Okay. Well, God bless you. I don't trust anybody. So, from that perspective, have at it. Which is like the Intent We Trust crowd. Remember that? That was a whole big thing forever, Intent We Trust. Pretty sure we came up with it on this station years ago. Intent We Trust. Because they won a Super Bowl. And it was like, all right, we're all in on Ted. Guess what blew that notion up? Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And the team couldn't win a game. No matter what quarterback they threw in there. And then everybody said, oh, maybe this roster wasn't as good as we all thought it was. Maybe Aaron was just covering up a bunch of warts. But for the longest time, everybody was all in bed with whatever Ted did. Now, Brian Gutekunst, after these last two drafts, is getting to that point, I think, with Packer Nation of, hey, man, whatever he wants to do. Like, who am I to question him? He was a rock star in last year's draft. He was a rock star 2 years ago in that draft. He's on a roll. Let the man do what he wants to do, and I'll trust him. That's fair. But I'm still going to give you my opinion whether you trust him or not. I'm just telling you. That's how this is going to be. We're still going to talk about it. And there are still going to be people that are going to call up to this station and talk to me on this show on Friday after that. So the draft is next Thursday night. That next day on Friday, if they make a pick, and if they don't trade into the second round, if they make a pick, I promise you, you will see people arguing about whatever the pick is. People will be like, oh, this guy was here and he made that pick. What an idiot. I can't believe he did it. You're going to have that. That's what I love about the NFL draft. Are you a big draft guy, Charlie?
I am. I follow most of the top prospects. I don't go too deep in it, but I know a lot of the guys in it.
So are you a guy that likes to go out and watch the draft somewhere? Do you have it on the radio? Like, how into it are you?
So I definitely like going out and watching the draft. Thursday night, my buddy's coming from Illinois. We're planning on going to Raised Grain, sitting down watching the draft there. So.
All right, so no, first of all, what is Raised Grain or whatever the heck you just called it?
Raised Grain is a brewing company in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Shout out to them. I'm a big fan. I also work there as
well. That helps! That helps. It helps. So are you a bartender over there?
I am. Yep.
Really? So all you got to do is you go over to Raised Grain, like, which one's Chicago Charlie? And you probably, I'm guessing, I've not been there. I'm guessing you're the biggest bartender they have.
Yeah, I stand out a little bit.
I got mustache, brown hair. You know, you go in there, buy Charlie a shot, because bartenders love buying shots bought for him. Buy Charlie a shot and talk some sports with him. So you guys will have the draft on over there then that night?
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I mean, again, there's all kinds of places. Q Club of Wisconsin was where we always used to do our draft shows for so long. Mike was a great host over there for us at Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha. A great place to watch the draft. You got Potawatomi with a sports book and stuff. I bet you that place will be hopping going on. Their brand new sports book is opening next month. That'll probably be another great place. A lot of these sports bars are going to have the draft on, especially in this state with the Packers. Maybe they don't have it on the entire draft. But once word gets around of, hey, Packers are up in 5 picks, turn the channel in the bar, man. Turn the sound up. I want to hear who they pick. That it's going to be a thing. And I have been obsessed with the NFL draft for as long as I can remember. When I was younger, I would literally take TV trays out, right? And I'd put them in my room. I'd have my own draft boards, right? Poster boards that I'd make. And then I'd have notepads as well, keep a track of all the teams, the trades, and everything. And my buddies and my friends, who are fans of other teams, would always text me throughout, you know, Saturday or Sunday, because back then it was only 2 days. It was Saturday and Sunday. And they would always tell me, like, hey, man, what do the Cowboys do with that pick? Hey, man, what do the Vikings do with my pick? Hey, what about the Bears? What do they do? And then, you know, they call me, I guess, more than text me, but call me, and, you know, you tell them what happened, and what do you think of them? You like them? You like them? You like them? So I've always loved it. I've always been a big fan. I love the NBA draft. We've always done NBA draft shows on the station as well. And as we continue forward and moving on here on 1250, we'll get back to doing NFL draft shows and NBA draft shows, and we'll get back to doing all those shows as we move forward. And I can't wait for the draft, man. Thursday, Friday, because for the Packers, I think you can argue Friday's a bigger day. Friday's a bigger day than Thursday. I mean, so if you're like, oh, I can't wait for Thursday, you really should be saying, oh, I can't wait for Friday, because provided they don't trade up, there's four players going on Friday to the Packers. There's one on Thursday. And grant you, it's the first round, so, oh, boy, he's the guy. You might have two guys that get picked on day two that are better than the guy you pick on day one. So if you're making plans for the draft, I'm cool with you watching Thursday, but I'm telling you right now, Friday's the more important day. Of the three, Friday as a Packer fan is the day you circle and go, got to be watching on Friday. And the Bucks play at 4:30, like I said. So if Bucks get done by, like, right around 7 o'clock, I'll be on the air. Charlie will be here with me. We'll have the TVs on Friday night to the draft. We will keep you updated on what's going on in the draft while we're doing the postgame shows. Charlie and I will give you our instant reaction to the draft picks next Friday night as they're happening for the Packers, while also obviously still talking about the Bucks and Pacers game next Friday night. So looking forward to doing that next Friday. All right, coming up next, we got to talk about the Brewers game from earlier today. They come back, they win. I don't know if they came back, it was 0-0. But they take the lead there in the eighth inning on a big hit by a guy that wasn't given a whole bunch of credit coming into this season. We'll talk about who that was. Coming up next, Wisconsin Sports Daily with C. Sparky Pfeiffer here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan, C. Sparky Fiber with you. Charlie Hughes been producing the show, Other Side of the Glass. Don't forget, after every Milwaukee Bucks game, Potawatomi Sportsbook Pros post-game show served up by Wendy's. Sunday, game one Sunday night at Fiserv Forum. So once the game is done, you flip it over to 1250 AM, the fan, like you did for so many years. And we'll take your calls, your tweets, play some highlights here from Doc Rivers after the game, and anybody else that may talk after the game. We're going to get real press conferences now once we get into this portion of the playoffs. So that'll be fun to hear some reaction. You'll have more national media at this game, these games now covering Doc and so forth. Can't wait to see how many of these Doc Rivers haters, because there's a ton, are there at these press conferences and pressing Doc after a loss. So we'll see how that one, whole thing goes. Earlier today, a matinee performance for the Brewers and the Padres. And the Brewers at one point were getting no hit in this game. I think it was the fifth inning. Willie Adames broke it up with a single and got on base. Then Abner Ribe, there was a leadoff triple, and somehow or another, Ribe worked out of it to not give up any runs. That was a magic act. And then we get to the eighth inning was it one runner on? Yeah, with a runner on, and this dude here, Blake Perkins, at the plate.
Ground ball left side, through base hit, here comes Terang! Profar's throw to the plate, not in time! Perkins to second, 1-0 Milwaukee!
I'll say this right now. There are many of you out there that gave no thought to Blake Perkins before this season. None. None. Says, he'll go to AAA, whatever. It's all good. And then you start reading the reports coming out of spring training of, you could be a Gold Glover and so forth. And still, Blake Perkins, whatever, who cares? Dude, it's not like this dude's 35, has been in the league forever, and has some long track record. I was amazed. On social media, in the last year and a half or whatever, really have kind of been immersed in watching how y'all react and to different things, because that's kind of how I keep my pulse on what was going on with everybody. And I'm floored by how short of a few some of you have with your favorite players and favorite teams. I really am. I mean, there is no leeway given at all. Dude strikes out three times in the game, he sucks, trade him. I mean, it's literally just that quick. And I'm guilty. I used to be horrible that way. But sometimes you just got to let things play out, especially if it's a younger player. And this dude here, Perkins, man, he's been killing it at the plate. And everybody thought, oh, he's just a defensive player, and he'll be a defensive replacement late in games. But he's not going to be a starting outfielder on this team. Look at all the talent they've got. They've got Gary Mitchell. They got Sal Frelick. Joey Weimer's going to be a stud. Christian Yelich is still out there. Like, there's nowhere for that guy to play. Yelich is hurt. Joey Weimer is not a stud as of right now. And this dude here is playing like he doesn't plan on giving up his position on this baseball team anytime soon. And it is awesome. He's hitting .324 after today. 1-for-3 with an RBI in this game to make it 1-0. And there were two outs on top of it. So it was kind of a pressure-packed situation there in the eighth inning. And then you go on to get the win. And talk about the pitching performance. They didn't go with a real starter. It was a bullpen day. And you got a shutout. And once it comes out of the pen, I'll start. 3 2/3, couple of hits, a walk, and two strikeouts. Hudson comes in, who's actually bigger than Charlie. A lot bigger than Charlie. 2 1/3 inning and a walk. No hits. So Garrett comes out of the pen, gave up a couple of hits, no runs, and an inning. Uribe, I told you about the triple he gave up and then worked out of it without letting the guy score. And then Piams with the save, his second. So Uribe got the win in the 2-1 now. Piams with the save, his second. I think the days of Uribe closing games is over. Just saying. I think this is officially Piam's job. When the season started, Piam's was the eighth, Uribe was the ninth. I was never sold. And I think now they've changed their mind that maybe Uribe is not going to be that guy. That maybe they'll use Uribe like they used to use Josh Hader, remember? Right? Big moment, sixth, seventh inning, come in, get him out of a situation, and still know that you had guys at the back end of the pen that would still be able to close games So I think when Devin Williams comes back in June, I think that's what we're talking about here is June. When he comes back in June, he's a closer. Piamps ends up being that eighth inning guy. And then Uribe ends up being that guy that you can use in the sixth or seventh, wherever there's needed for a big moment to, you know, use that power ball, power fastball of his, to get out of a slippery situation or face the meat of an order and play it that way. The back end of that bullpen, if Uribe is right, if he's right and gets consistent, it's going to be filthy. When you start talking about Uribe, Piamps, and then Devin Williams, providing Williams is, you know, right himself. That's kind of huge. Now, I still have questions as far as what this rotation is going to be. I still think there's a good possibility that before this is all said and done, they're going to trade for a starting pitcher. I saw a thing on ESPN. They went down every team and suggested a player that could be traded from that team at some point this year. The player that was selected for the Milwaukee Brewers was Willie Adames. They suggested that Willie Adames would be traded. And the reasoning behind it was that they needed a starting pitcher. And Willie Adames is in the last year of his contract. And if he's playing really well, odds are they will not be able to sign him at the end of the year anyhow. So get a starting pitcher back for him to help you make that run. I don't think that's happening. Maybe I'll be wrong. But if Willie Adames is playing well and is hitting in the middle of that lineup, I think it's going to be like Fielder, Prince Fielder, where we're just going to play out the season and we're going to try and win this thing and we'll have to trade prospects to get a pitcher, fine, but we're not trading a bat in the middle of the lineup if we think we have a chance. Because they could have done that with Prince Fielder back in the day. He was in a free agent here and they were rolling midway through the season and they made the choice of, nope, we're just keeping him and we'll lose him in the offseason, fine, but we're not trading him. So I think if it gets to that point, I don't think they trade Adames. I really don't. But they're going to have to probably add a pitcher or two to this rotation. And then it's going to be, which way does Matt Arnold go? Does Matt Arnold go the way of a guy that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year? So you're essentially renting them for a couple of months. Or do you give up better prospects and more prospects and try and trade for a guy that's under team control for, say, a year and a half? See Zach Greinke. You try and go that way with it. It's like the Packers coming into this season. Nobody expected the Packers to be in the playoffs. Nobody expected the Packers to go to Dallas and win when Dallas hadn't lost at home. Nobody thought that was going to happen. But with this Brewers team, there was no expectations coming into this season either. And again, it's the first month of the season. There are 6 months in the season. By the end of the year, this team could be in last place, and this is all a complete waste of time talking about on this show. But as it sits right now, it appears it's a pretty good baseball team. And if they end up being a pretty good baseball team, then there's going to have to be some conversation about whether or not you add to it to try and win this division against the Cubs, or whether or not you just play it out and hope some of these younger guys come up and play well. Mizorowski, you know, does he eventually come up from Double-A at some point this year, Jacob Mizorowski, and pitch out of the bullpen? Does Junis end up being a legit player in this rotation going forward? You're going to need some of these younger players without a ton of experience to really step up and be somebody for you if this is going to be a team that wins the division. But offensively, I think they've got enough talent. Charlie, do you think they're a pitcher or two away in that rotation more so than anything else?
Definitely. I think, you know, losing Corbin Burns from last season always is going to hurt, especially since he's been playing well with the Orioles now. Brandon Woodruff you don't have for the rest of the season. You know, you need a bigger arm, and you had mentioned Zach Greinke before, but I always think about CeCe Sabathia. You know, you just need that one guy to kind of strengthen that rotation, and then it'll be, I think this team has a shot, you know, to make a deep run in the playoffs if they can just bolster that rotation a little bit more. And I really think that's all it's been. If the offense can keep up doing what they're doing, all these young guys are coming in and just playing well. I think Bryce Terang's at 9 steals now. You know, you have all these young pieces that just look really good. I think it's just one pitcher away, like you're saying.
This was tweeted out by Kurt Hoag, beat writer for the Milwaukee Brewers for the Journal Sentinel. Brewers' last shutout in a bullpen game, per research man J.R. Ratcliffe, love me some J.R. Ratcliffe, was September 16th of 2020. Brent Suter went three, Freddie Peralta went two, Devin Williams went one, and Eric Yardley. He went one in a 6-0 win over the Cardinals in a 7-inning game. Did you hear the names I just said? Brent Suter, Freddie Peralta was in the pen at that point, Devin Williams wasn't Devin Williams of now, and Eric Yardley was never anything specific, anything special necessarily, and it was a 7-inning game, not a 9-inning game like what you saw today from the Milwaukee Brewers. That's, to me, that's pretty impressive. You're 11-6 now, and feeling pretty good about yourself after this homestand, even though, you know, you lost 2 out of 3 to the Padres. You had some bad luck. I mean, you had bad luck last night at Ed Miley's start. Horrible luck. You had bad luck in that Joe Ross start, the start before that. And offensively, you couldn't get going necessarily. And after that great start that the Brewers had, as far as scoring a bunch of runs, let's see, the last time they scored, where are we here? The last time they scored 7 or more runs was their win against the Orioles on Saturday. Since then, they've scored 4-3-3-1 today. So the offense came back down to earth. Now you get an off day tomorrow, and then, the Cardinals in St. Louis. And right off the bat, it's Peralta versus Gibson, then it's Hall versus Mikolas. And then Ray versus Sonny Gray, who's pitching well for the Cardinals. At this point, they picked him up in the offseason. Mikolas doesn't scare anybody. And then Gibson is decent, you know, but I don't think he's better than Peralta. I realistically, if you look at this game, it's a night game and 2 afternoon games, Saturday and Sunday. I think it's realistic to say the Brewers probably should take 2 out of 3 in this series against the Cardinals going into it, Charlie.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think the Cardinals are as scary as people were thinking they would be at the beginning of the season.
They're old.
Exactly. I mean, compared to all the other teams in the NL Central, they're just really old. That's not saying they don't have good players, but they're just not the team that I think people were expecting. And I think they're a good team to kind of get a bounce back after this series where you are playing a team that could potentially be a playoff battle for you again in the Padres, you
and
know?
After that series, you go to Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. And the Pirates, again, I mean, they're right there at the top of the division. They're playing better than people expected, too. Now, they're young, right? They're like the Reds. They got a lot of young talent that's going to be something. And that pitcher they just drafted, what is it, Paul Skeens or whatever? That dude is tearing it up down in the minors, but he's only pitching 3 innings a game. So it's going to be a while before he gets up here. But it looks like that dude's a stud like everybody thought he was going to be. And if they get a stud pitcher at the front of that rotation, that'll be the first time they probably had a stud pitcher at the front of the rotation since Jim Leland was the manager. Who was it? Drabeck, I guess, would have been the ace pitcher at the front of that rotation back in the day for the Pirates. Our guy Paul Wagner was part of those teams back there with Bonds and Bobby Bonilla and all those guys. Charlie is on the other side of the glass. Smiling, teeth showing, like, I don't know anybody that you're talking about, Sparky. I have no clue on anybody you just said. You know Bonds, Barry Bonds.
Yes, I know Barry.
You heard of Bobby Bonilla.
I do know Bobby Bonilla.
Okay. The other guys, not a clue in the world. Doug Drabeck, not Kyle Drabeck. Doug Drabeck. But either way, you put a stud pitcher in front of that rotation for Pittsburgh and get a couple of pitchers for the Pirates, they should have enough offensively to compete. You know, they've just been missing pitching, which is the question for the Brewers now, too. So these next two series for the Brewers, anytime you're, you know, inside the division, are big series. So, you know, we'll see what comes up of this. You're Mr. Chicago over there. So from a Cubs fan perspective, is it hate the Cardinals at all costs and everybody else is second at that point as a Cubs fan?
I mean, even as, like, I'm not a Brewers hater, but even as, like, a semi-Brewers supporter.
Just like Ronnie Nackloff.
As a Brewers supporter, I still hate the Cardinals. I think everybody should just hate the Cardinals. The Cardinals are the worst team. They're my least favorite team in all of sports, honestly.
Why?
They're just, I don't know. Just, like, I guess growing up as, like, in the era where they were just the best team. They had Albert Pujols. They had all the...
They've been the Packers of this division.
Exactly. You just want to hate them.
Yes. They've been the Packers of this division. So, I mean, think about it from this perspective. The way Bears fans, Charlie, hates Packer fans, you, that is the same way that Cub fans feel about Cardinal fans. And I will say, I'm not Cardinals fans, maybe Cardinals, maybe they're fans too, I don't know. I've hated the Cardinals since La Russa. Can't stand La Russa. Mancini was a former Brewer. I couldn't stand him as manager of that team either. So I've always disliked the Cardinals. By far, not even close. Cubs have always kind of been second. Cub fans, one. But the Cubs themselves have always been kind of two to a certain degree, because for the most part, the Brewers have been better than them for a long period of time. They had the run with Rizzo and Bryant and so forth. But even then, the Brewers still didn't stink. So it was never to that point. However, the Cardinals and the Brewers have gotten into quite a few scuffles and trash talking between players, between managers. Like, it's gotten personal with those guys in both clubhouses, where most clubhouses didn't like each other, especially back to the Pujols days. Oh my goodness, both those teams hated each other. So as a fan, you definitely hated the Cardinals for certain, and the Cubs not as much. I just hate the Cub fans taking over American Family Field. That's my only thing. Cardinals fans come too, but they're not as drunk. And they're more sober. Now, they're also arrogant, and they're going to talk down to you when they're sitting next to you at a game. But they don't drink as much as Brewers fans and Cub fans, at least not the ones that I've seen at American Family Field. That's my thoughts, at least on that. All right, that'll do it for Wisconsin Sports Daily. Another edition tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow. Rami Makhlouf joins us in studio from 4 to 5 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your day. Wisconsin Sports Daily again tomorrow at 2 on The Fan. Toodles.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Fiber with you. Charlie Hughes producing the show, Other Side of the Glass. Don't forget, after every Milwaukee Bucks game, Potawatomi Sportsbook Pros post-game show served up by Wendy's. Sunday, game one, Sunday night. at 5-3 form. So once the game is done, you flip it over to 1250 AM, the fan, like you did for so many years. And we'll take your calls, your tweets, play some highlights, hear from Doc Rivers after the game, and anybody else that may talk after the game. We're going to get real press conferences now once we get into this portion of the playoffs. So that'll be fun to hear some reaction. You'll have more national media at this game, at these games now, covering Doc and so forth. Can't wait to see how many of these Doc Rivers haters, because there's a ton, are there at these press conferences and pressing Doc after a loss. So we'll see how that whole thing goes. Earlier today, a matinee performance for the Brewers and the Padres, and the Brewers at one point were getting no hit in this game. I think it was the fifth inning. Willie Adames broke it up with a single and got on base. Then Abner Ribe, there was a leadoff triple, and somehow or another, Ribe worked out of it to not give up any runs. That was a magic act. And then we get to the eighth inning with a runner on, and this dude here, Blake Perkins, at the plate.
Ground ball left side, it's through base hit, here comes Terang! Profar's throw to the plate, not in time! Perkins to second, 1-0 Milwaukee!
I'll say this right now. There are many of you out there that gave no thought to Blake Perkins before this season. None. Just, he'll go to AAA, whatever. It's all good. And then you start reading the reports coming out of spring training of, oh, you can be a Gold Glover and so forth. And still, Blake Perkins, whatever, who cares? Dude, it's not like this dude's 35, has been in the league forever, and has some long track record. I was amazed. On social media, in the last year and a half or whatever, really have kind of been immersed in watching how y'all react and to different things. Because that's kind of how I was keeping my pulse on what was going on with everybody. And I'm floored by how short of a fuse some of you have with your favorite players and favorite teams. Like I really am. I mean, there is no leeway given at all. Dude strikes out three times in a game, he sucks, trade him. I mean, it's literally just that quick. And I'm guilty. I used to be horrible that way. But sometimes you just gotta let things play out, especially if it's a younger player. And this dude here, Perkins, man, he's been killing it at the plate. And everybody thought, oh, he's just a defensive player and he'll be a defensive replacement late in games. But he's not going to be a starting outfielder on this team. Look at all the talent they've got. They've got Gary Mitchell. They got Sal Frelick. Joey Weimer's going to be a stud. Christian Yelich is still out there. Like, there's nowhere for that guy to play. Yelich is hurt. Joey Weimer is not a stud as of right now. And this dude here is playing like he doesn't plan on giving up his position on this baseball team anytime soon. And it is awesome. He's hitting .324 after today. 1-for-3 with an RBI in this game to make it 1-0. And there were two outs on top of it. So it was kind of a pressure-packed situation there in the eighth inning. And then you go on to get the win. And talk about the pitching performance. They didn't go with a real starter. It was a bullpen day. And you got a shutout. And once it comes out of the pen, I'll start. 3 2/3, couple of hits, a walk, and two strikeouts. Hudson comes in, who's actually bigger than Charlie. A lot bigger than Charlie. 2 1/3 inning and a walk. No hits. Pagara comes out of the pen, gave up a couple of hits, no runs, and an inning. Uribe, I told you about the triple he gave up and then worked out of it without letting the guy score. And then Piams with the save, his second. So Uribe got the win in the 2-1 now. Piams with the save. His second. I think the days of Uribe closing games is over. Just saying. I think this is officially Payam's job. When the season started, Payam's was the eighth. Uribe was the ninth. I was never sold. And I think now they've changed their mind that maybe Uribe is not going to be that guy. That maybe they'll use Uribe like they used to use Josh Hader. Remember? Right? Big moment, sixth, seventh inning. Come in. Get him out of a situation and still know that you had guys at the back end of the pen that would still be able to close games So I think when Devin Williams comes back in June, I think that's what we're talking about here is June. When he comes back in June, he's a closer. Piamps ends up being that eighth inning guy. And then Uribe ends up being that guy that you can use in the sixth or seventh, wherever there's needed for a big moment to, you know, use that power ball, power fastball of his, to get out of a slippery situation or face the meat of an order and play it that way. The back end of that bullpen, if Uribe is right, if he's right and gets consistent, it's going to be filthy. When you start talking about Uribe, Piamps, and then Devin Williams, providing Williams is, you know, right himself. That's going to be huge. Now, I still have questions as far as what this rotation is going to be. I still think there's a good possibility that before this is all said and done, they're going to trade for a starting pitcher. I saw a thing on ESPN. They went down every team and suggested a player that could be traded from that team at some point this year. The player that was selected for the Milwaukee Brewers was Willy Adames. They suggested that Willy Adames would be traded. And the reasoning behind it was that they needed a starting pitcher. And Willy Adames is in the last year of his contract. And if he's playing really well, odds are they will not be able to sign him at the end of the year anyhow. So get a starting pitcher back for him to help you make that run. I don't think that's happening. Maybe I'll be wrong. But if Willy Adames is playing well and is hitting in the middle of that lineup, I think it's going to be like Fielder. Prince Fielder, where we're just going to play out the season and we're going to try and win this thing and we'll have to trade prospects to get a pitcher, fine. But we're not trading a bat in the middle of the lineup if we think we have a chance. Because they could have done that with Prince Fielder back in the day. He was in a free agent here. And they were rolling midway through the season, and they made the choice of, nope, we're just keeping them, and we'll lose them in the offseason, fine, but we're not trading them. So I think if it gets to that point, I don't think they trade Adames. I really don't. But they're going to have to probably add a pitcher or two to this rotation. And then it's going to be, which way does Matt Arnold go? Does Matt Arnold go the way of a guy that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year? So you're essentially renting them for a couple of months. Or do you give up better prospects and more prospects and try and trade for a guy that's under team control for, say, a year and a half? See Zach Greinke. You try and go that way with it. It's like the Packers coming into this season. Nobody expected the Packers to be in the playoffs. Nobody expected the Packers to go to Dallas and win when Dallas hadn't lost at home. Nobody thought that was going to happen. But with this Brewers team, there was no expectations coming into this season either. Again, it's the first month of the season. There are 6 months in the season. By the end of the year, this team could be in last place, and this is all a complete waste of time talking about on this show. But as it sits right now, it appears it's a pretty good baseball team. And if they end up being a pretty good baseball team, then there's going to have to be some conversation about whether or not you add to it to try and win this division against the Cubs, or whether or not you just play it out and hope some of these younger guys come up and play well. Mizorowski, you know, does he eventually come up from Double A at some point this year, Jacob Mizorowski, and pitch out of the bullpen? Does Junis end up being a legit player in this rotation going forward? You're going to need some of these younger players without a ton of experience to really step up and be somebody for you if this is going to be a team that wins the division. Offensively, I think they've got enough talent. Charlie, do you think they're a pitcher or two away in that rotation more so than anything else?
Definitely. I think, you know, losing Corbin Burnes from last season always is going to hurt, especially since he's been playing well with the Orioles now. Brandon Woodruff you don't have for the rest of the season. You know, you need a bigger arm, and you had mentioned Zach Greinke before, but I always think about CeCe Sabathia. You know, you just need that one guy to kind of strengthen that rotation, and then it'll be, I think this team has a shot, you know, to make a deep run in the playoffs if they can just bolster that rotation a little bit more. And I really think that's all it's been. If the offense can keep up doing what they're doing, all these young guys are coming in and just playing well. I think Bryce Terang's at 9 steals now. You know, you have all these young pieces that just look really good. I think it's just one pitcher away, like you're saying.
This was tweeted out by Kurt Hoag, beat writer for the Milwaukee Brewers for the Journal Sentinel. Brewers' last shutout in a bullpen game, per research man J.R. Radcliffe, love me some J.R. Radcliffe, was September 16th of 2020. Brent Suter went 3, Freddie Peralta went 2, Devin Williams went 1, and Eric Yardley, he went 1 in a 6-0 win over the Cardinals in a 7-inning game. Did you hear the names I just said? Brent Suter, Freddie Peralta was in the pen at that point, Devin Williams wasn't Devin Williams of now, and Eric Yardley was never anything specific, anything special necessarily, and it was a 7-inning game, not a 9-inning game like what you saw today from the Milwaukee Brewers. That's, to me, that's pretty impressive. You're 11-6 now, and feeling pretty good about yourself after this homestand, even though, you know, you lost 2 out of 3 to the Padres. You had some bad luck. I mean, you had bad luck last night at that Miley start. Horrible luck. You had bad luck in that Joe Ross start, the start before that. And offensively, you couldn't get going necessarily. And after that great start that the Brewers had, as far as scoring a bunch of runs, let's see, the last time they scored, where are we here? The last time they scored 7 or more runs, was their win against the Orioles on Saturday. Since then, they've scored 4, 3, 3, and 1 today. So the offense came back down to earth. Now you get an off day tomorrow, and then, dun, 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 the Cardinals in St. Louis. And right off the bat, it's Peralta versus Gibson, then it's Hall versus Mikolas, and then Ray versus Sonny Gray, who's pitching well for the Cardinals. At this point, they picked him up in the offseason. Mikolas doesn't scare anybody. And then Gibson is decent, you know, but I don't think he's better than Peralta. I realistically, if you look at this game, the night game and 2 afternoon games, Saturday and Sunday, I think it's realistic to say the Brewers probably should take 2 out of 3 in this series against the Cardinals going into it, Charlie.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think the Cardinals are as scary as people were thinking they would be at the beginning of the season.
Well, they're old.
Exactly. I mean, compared to all the other teams in the NL Central, they're just really old. That's not saying they don't have good players, but they're just not the team that I think people were expecting. And I think they're a good team to kind of get a bounce back after this series where you are playing a team that could potentially be a playoff battle for you again in the Padres, you
and
know?
And after that series, you go to Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. And the Pirates, again, I mean, they're right there at the top of the division. They're playing better than people expected, too. Now, they're young, right? They're like the Reds. They got a lot of young talent that's going to be something. And that pitcher they just drafted, what is it, Paul Skeens or whatever? That dude is tearing it up down in the minors, but he's only pitching 3 innings a game. So it's going to be a while before he gets up here. But it looks like that dude's a stud like everybody thought he was going to be. And if they get a stud pitcher at the front of that rotation, that'll be the first time they probably had a stud pitcher at the front of the rotation since Jim Leland was the manager. Who was it? Drabeck, I guess, would have been the ace pitcher at the front of that rotation back in the day for the Pirates. Our guy Paul Wagner was part of that those teams back there with Bonds and Bobby Bonilla and all those guys. Charlie is on the other side of the glass. Smiling, teeth showing, like, I don't know anybody that you're talking about, Sparky. I have no clue on anybody you just said. You know Bonds, Barry Bonds.
Yes, I know Barry.
You heard of Bobby Bonilla.
I do know Bobby Bonilla.
Okay. The other guys, not a clue in the world. Doug Drabeck, not Kyle Drabeck. Doug Drabeck. But either way, you put a stud pitcher in front of that rotation for Pittsburgh and get a couple of pitchers for the Pirates, they should have enough offensively to compete. You know, they've just been missing pitching, which is the question for the Brewers now, too. So these next two series for the Brewers, anytime you're, you know, inside the division, are big series. And so, you know, we'll see what comes of this. You're Mr. Chicago over there. So from a Cubs fan perspective, is it hate the Cardinals at all costs and everybody else is second at that point as a Cubs fan?
I mean, even as, like, I'm not a Brewers hater, but even as, like, a semi-Brewers supporter.
Just like Ronnie Nackloff.
As a Brewers supporter, I still hate the Cardinals. I think everybody should just hate the Cardinals. The Cardinals are the worst team. They're my least favorite team in all of sports, honestly.
Why?
They're just, I don't know. Just, like, I guess growing up as, like, in the era where they were just the best team. They had Albert Pujols. They had all the...
They've been the Packers of this division.
Exactly. You just want to hate them.
Yes. They've been the Packers of this division. So, I mean, think about it from this perspective. The way Bears fans, Charlie, hates Packer fans, you, that is the same way that Cub fans feel about Cardinals fans. And I will say, not Cardinals fans, maybe Cardinals, maybe they're fans too, I don't know. I've hated the Cardinals since La Russa. Can't stand La Russa. Mancini was a former Brewer. I couldn't stand him as manager of that team either. So I've always disliked the Cardinals. By far, not even close. Cubs have always kind of been second. Cub fans, one. But the Cubs themselves have always been kind of two to a certain degree, because for the most part, the Brewers have been better than them for a long period of time. They had the run with Rizzo and Bryant and so forth. But even then, the Brewers still didn't stink. So it was never to that point. However, the Cardinals and the Brewers have gotten into quite a few scuffles and trash talking between players, between managers. Like, it's gotten personal with those guys in both clubhouses, where most clubhouses didn't like each other, especially back to the Pujols days. Oh my goodness, both those teams hated each other. So as a fan, you definitely hated the Cardinals for certain, and the Cubs not as much. I just hate the Cubs fans taking over American Family Field. That's my only thing. Cardinals fans come too, but they're not as drunk. And they're more sober. Now, they're also arrogant, and they're going to talk down to you when they're sitting next to you at a game. But they don't drink as much as Brewers fans and Cub fans, at least not the ones that I've seen at American Family Field. That's my thoughts, at least on that. All right, that'll do it for Wisconsin Sports Daily. Another edition tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow. Robbie Maklof joins us in studio from 4 to 5 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your day. Wisconsin Sports Daily again tomorrow at 2 on The Fan. Toodles.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.